were going to be moving into a new level. You didn't count on the fact that you were going to this morning be moving into a new dimension of God this morning. See, it's not what you have done necessarily, but it's what God has done, and it's a new season. Somebody say amen. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 4, the Bible reads like this. It says, "Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." So right there in that scripture, it's telling this woman who's barren, who's representative of Israel, the people of God, that they're getting ready to step into a new season. That they haven't had children, but they're going to have more than the children of the married woman. And then it says this, these are our promised scriptures for our ministry. And it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear," tell your neighbor, "don't be afraid. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." Tell your neighbor, it's a new season. You know, not only is that a promise scripture, I want you to understand that this morning about these powerful verses that we just read, that not only is this a promise scripture, but this is a prophetic scripture. It's not only a promise scripture that tells you about a promise of God, but it is a prophetic scripture that says specifically what God is going to do in a certain place and with a certain people. Somebody say amen. In other words, through these verses, God is prophesying to you and me. He's saying, sing, he says, because more are going to be your children than the children of the married woman. He's saying, stretch. He's saying, enlarge the place of your tent. He's saying, make room, because you're about to inhabit the desolate cities. Ecclesiastes 3:1 reads like this. It says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." Let me say that one more time. "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." I want you to look at the person next to you and tell them, "I just stepped into a new season." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, this morning, we thank you for your presence. Bless the preaching of your word. Have your way this morning, God. Don't let us leave the same. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen and amen. You can go ahead and be seated this morning. I want you to turn to the other person next to you and tell them, "I just stepped into a new season." It's a new season. Somebody say amen. You see, we serve a God of seasons. We see it in creation. God created the four seasons. Somebody say amen. They are based, when you look at the four seasons, right, of the earth, they're based upon the rotation of the earth as it orbits, as it goes around the sun. The seasons change as the earth moves, but the sun in our solar system remains constant and everything revolves around it. In many ways, it's the same in our lives. Come on, somebody. Because like the earth, our lives should revolve around the sun, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Our lives will change. Our lives will enter and exit many seasons. How many know what I'm talking about? Has anybody here been through some different seasons? Our lives will enter and exit many seasons, but the sun, Jesus Christ, remains constant. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, we serve a God of seasons. Are you with me this morning? I want you to stay quiet on me. I'm not going to be too long. I want you to, you know, engage with me this morning as I preach this message, because I believe that God is doing something special within your life. And I don't want you to miss it, but I want you to catch it. Because when God does something, he does something. But even in the midst of it, you could be in the midst of God doing something and you can miss it. You see it in the Word of God. This happens at different times. There's things that God does. There's seasons that God brings. There's windows that God opens. There's time clocks in certain times of our lives. But it's still possible that you can miss what God is doing in your midst. See, we serve a God of seasons. But God doesn't measure seasons with clocks and with calendars. Come on, somebody. But he does it with truth and with revelation. In other words, it's God's timing. Somebody say it's God's timing. It's God's timing. For example, when God gives you a fresh word, you need to get ready because you've just begun to step into a new season. Somebody say amen. Does anybody still get words this morning? Nobody reads their Bible. Come on, somebody. Have you looked in the Word of God and God has given you a word? God has let something, it stood out to you, it popped out to you, and you knew that word was for you. Well, when God gives you a word, I want you to know that you got to get ready because you're getting ready to step into a new season. A new season has just begun for your life. Somebody say amen. I want to talk this morning to the people that are on fire for God. I want to talk to this morning to the people that want what God has for them this morning. I want to talk to the people that know that God called them and they're not going to sit back and let it pass them by, but they're going to step in to the season that God. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that says, I'm not going to let the season that God has brought for me pass me by. Is there anybody like that this morning? That's who I want to speak to today. That's who I want to preach to today. That's who I want to engage with today. Those that want what God has for their life in this new season. Are you here with me today? Are the on fire Christians with me today? Are the thrivers here today? Come on, are the world shakers here today? Are the Victory Outreach Pomona soldiers in the army of God here today? Where are you at? In the army of God. Come on, somebody. Don't let the enemy put you to sleep. Don't let the enemy shut your mouth. Don't let the enemy tell you to sit down and shut up and don't move. You got to shake it off. You got to step up. And you got to step into the new season that God has for your life. Come on. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Are there any fighters in this place that refuse to settle for anything less than what God has? I wonder if there's anybody here that refuses to settle for what God has for your life. Come on, somebody. The scripture says to everything there is a season. Every aspect of our lives is as to a season. And there is a, how many know there is a purpose for those seasons? There is, like they say, there is a, right, we say in Christmas, right? But it's true. There is a reason for the season. God doesn't waste anything. There is a reason for why you're going through what you're going through. God has a purpose. God is able to take even things that seem like they're bad, and he's able to use it for his glory within inside of your life. There's a reason, there's a purpose for the process. You know, sometimes the process might not be too exciting, but I want you to know that your purpose is wrapped up in your process. You think the process is always going to feel good? You think before that Olympic champion steps on and gets that gold medal, do you think that everything went smooth before they stepped on that pedestal and got that gold medal? No, they had some tough times. They had some injuries. They had to work hard. They had some heartbreak. Come on, somebody. Things didn't always go smooth, but at the end of all the process that took place within their life, they found themselves standing at the fulfillment of their purpose. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that wants to stand at the fulfillment of your purpose and you're willing to go through the process to get there. See, that's the problem. A lot of times there's a lot of people, there's even a lot of Christians that want to get to the end, but they don't want to go through the process. Oh, come on, somebody. I wish I had some honest people that I could preach to this morning. You want to go through the whole, you know, you want to get to that place, you want to see the promise fulfilled, but you don't want to go through the process. You ever been there? You ever felt like that this morning? Come on, somebody. I got a hunch. Come on, somebody. Yeah, but those seasons, you got to understand that there's seasons and there's a part of that process that you didn't want to go through sometimes. Come on, somebody. But through those seasons, you learned some things. I said, through those seasons, you learned some things. And you wouldn't have learned them if you hadn't gone through some things. Come on, somebody. There are some seasons that you've gone through that you don't know why you had to go through them, but there is a reason for that season. Come on, somebody. And I want you to know this morning that just because you're going through some stuff, or just because you go through some stuff, or you've gone through a rough season, it doesn't mean that God is finished with you. If you believe that, come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning in this place. Because the Bible says that he who has begun a good work in you, you ain't hearing me this morning. You don't want to, come on, you don't want to be preached to this morning. I said, he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's a season, but God uses it to bring it to pass within your life. See, it's not just any work, but it's a good work. You ain't hearing me this morning. It's his work. It's not just any work. It's not just you outside of God. You are in God, and you are part of his work. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you are his workmanship. You're his workmanship. You know what that word means? It means you are his masterpiece. Do you take that lightly? You are God's masterpiece. You are God's artwork. That means that the artist, the author, the creator of your life, he's the one that drew you. He's the one that etched you. He's the one that made you. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. You ain't hearing me this morning. And I want you to know that he has a destiny. He has a plan. And he has a purpose for your life. The Bible says, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans of good and not of evil." God has a plan for your life. You are his masterpiece. Somebody say amen this morning. You've just stepped into a new season. It's not just the name of a sermon this morning. It's not just the title of a sermon this morning. This is what leaped up in my heart this week. This is what has been leaping in my heart. This is what God has been speaking to me. This is what I've been hearing in my spiritual ear and in my heart of hearts. This is what I've been seeing. This is what I've been feeling. This is what I've been sensing. And if you're with me this morning, you've been sensing it too. And God is saying, it's a new season. You just stepped into a new season. Tell your neighbor, wake up. Come on, somebody. You just stepped into a new season. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to see. God is going to show you. If you're even halfway awake spiritually, you're going to see it. See, change is inevitable. Am I right? It's going to happen, right? Am I right? We look outside at the world and we notice that things are different than they were 10 years ago. Am I correct? They're even different than they were last year. Things are different than they were last year. Things are different than they were yesterday. Things change so constantly and so rapidly that it's unbelievable. But remember, in the midst of that, we serve a God of seasons. Even in his creation, he created the seasons. Somebody say amen. And each season is different than others. Some seasons are for things to grow old. How many thank God that you're growing old? Come on, somebody. Other things are for things to die off. Hello, somebody. Things that die off in your life, things that don't need to be there, they're gone, and you step into a new season. You don't have to carry those things in your life anymore. In some seasons, the days are longer, right? Like in summertime. In others, the nighttime is longer. In other words, sometimes it seems like your days, your mountaintop experiences, how many of those are the times that you're at that pinnacle in your walk with God? That's when the anointing is flowing. The blessings are flowing. Come on, somebody. All your family's getting saved. Everybody's behaving. Everybody's acting right, right? In your mountaintop experiences, sometimes it seems like with God, they're lasting a long time. But then there are those seasons, those other seasons. Come on, somebody. When it's the nighttime that seems as if it will never end. Has anybody been there? And those long nights, come on, somebody, when the tears seem like they don't stop flowing. Oh, come on, somebody. I ain't good. I'm all, come on. Can't get no honest Christians this morning. Seasons with the tears, boy, were flowing every night. Come on, somebody, and not because you were happy. Seems like the nighttime will never end. And yes, the darkness may have lasted a little longer in that season. Seems like it will never end in that season. Come on, somebody. But eventually, the morning came. Come on, somebody. Eventually, the morning came. Eventually, the tears stopped. Come on, somebody. Eventually, joy returned into your spirit. Come on. Is anybody here this morning that thank God that the night is over and God brings a new season of joy into your life? How many thank God that joy comes in the morning? It's a new season. But God shows us things, man. He shows us things that launch us into different seasons. Why? Because you know why he does it? Because we're creatures of habits. And if he didn't change things, if he didn't allow different seasons to come into our lives, we would become complacent in one place. And who knows where we would end up, amen? It's like, it reminds me of that, you know, I've seen a few of those cartoons, and then sometimes, like I think the other day, my son Robert, he was saying, you know, hey, Dad, wouldn't it be cool if it was Christmas every day? I've seen cartoons like that, man, and they show you it wouldn't be good if it was Christmas every day. I seen Elmo when Sophie was little. Elmo's Christmas. He wished for Christmas every day. After about 2-3 days, things started going not too good. But we're like kids. Sometimes if it was up to us, we'd have it the same way all the time. And then in the end, you wouldn't even see. We would run ourselves into a big old mess. Come on, somebody. So God has to bring seasons into our life. And it's because God wants to bring something new into your life that you haven't experienced yet. And if it wasn't for him bringing it, you probably wouldn't taste it. The seasons of the year become new. There's seasons. There's new seasons for our life. The Bible says there is a time for everything and a season for everything under heaven. Somebody say amen. In Jeremiah, he was in a season when the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to him saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And then he said, alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. There's one thing that people really have a hard time with. It is change. Somebody say amen. People simply don't like change. It's so true. They have their own comfort zones. They will do anything and everything to stay in the place where they are. Come on, somebody. Don't look at your husband, wife. Come on. They will use every excuse in the book to remain in a certain place. But when God says, my son, my daughter, it's time to shift. It's time for your season to shift. How many know sometimes that sometimes we fight back? We want God to use us, man. We pray all the time, Lord, use me. And when the Lord says it's time for the season to shift, we bring excuses. We resist. Some of us run from it. Come on, somebody. Say, God, use us. And he says, okay, it's time to shift. It's going to shift and do into a new season. We say, no, wait. But in order to move out of our past, how many know? We move into our new season. How many know we got to shift? Somebody say amen. As a church, we leave an old season and we shift into a new season. Somebody say amen. See, God wants us to be able to see beyond our present circumstances, and he wants us to be able to see into the divine future and the season that he has ready for us. When we are shifting into a new season, a lot of the things that we face is we face doubt, we face fears, we face speculations, we wonder what's going to happen. When all of a sudden you're getting, how many of you ever stepped into a new job role or a new job or a new season or different things in your life, and then you're up all night thinking about it, you're wondering, man, how's it going to work out? How's this going to change this? How's this going to change my schedule? How's this going to change my life? What in the world is taking place? So we give a lot of excuses like Jeremiah did, amen? Sounds good. When we read those scriptures of Jeremiah, man, he says, before I knew you in the womb, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet. It sounds good, but it didn't start that easy. The Lord had to do some convincing in Jeremiah's life. He had to remember him because he had a hard time accepting the shift that was taking place within inside of his life. And he had to point out some things to him. The Lord had to remind him that he knew him even before he was formed in his mother's womb. He had to remind Jeremiah who was in charge of his life. This morning, God wants to remind you who is in control of your life. That he is in control of the things that take place within your life. You know what else he had to point out to him? He had to point out to him that he was special. He said, I set you apart. He said, you out of everybody else, God, this morning wants to point out to you that you are special, that out of everybody, he set you apart for a specific purpose because there is something great that he has for your life. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you believe that this morning. And then he had to remind him this. He said, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I want you to know this morning that you have a calling. You have a calling that is upon your life. Come on, you ain't hearing me this morning. You have a calling that is upon your life. When God was trying to take him into a new season, Jeremiah was figuring out excuses just like you try to figure out excuses. Come on, somebody. See, Jeremiah was concerned with what he didn't have, so he was saying that he wasn't eloquent, people aren't going to take him seriously, but God was telling Jeremiah what he should do, and Jeremiah was telling God what he can't do. Isn't that what God does with us? He's telling us what we should do. He's telling us what he's empowered us to do. He's telling us what he's given us favor to do. And here we are telling God all the reasons why we can't do the things that he's given us favor for, why we can't accomplish the things that he's called us for. Somebody say amen this morning. When God called Moses, it was the same thing for his ministry. He couldn't look past his inabilities and weaknesses. Somebody say amen. So number one, when Jeremiah was focusing on his inabilities and weaknesses, God was focusing in on his potential. Come on, somebody. God was calling him a prophet. Somebody say amen. But Jeremiah could only focus on his weaknesses. Isn't that the way we are? But no matter what, when you look at it, no matter what excuses Jeremiah gave God concerning his calling and concerning his new season, God continued to speak to Jeremiah's potential. He continued to speak to Jeremiah's potential. That's what he does. That's what God does with us. Aren't you grateful that that's what the Lord does with you and I? He continues, in spite of the different turns and the different twists of our life, he continues to speak into our potential and remind us of what he has placed inside of us so that we will step out and lay hold of it. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap if you know what I'm talking about. Has God looked at your potential lately? Has God been reminding you of the things he placed inside of you and the calling that he has placed upon your life? That's what God does with us. And this is the same thing that we should do with others. When we look at others, we shouldn't look at their weaknesses. They're already looking at their weaknesses. They're already looking at their inabilities. They're already looking at all the reasons why they can't do what God called them to do. But God has called you and I to look at the people's potential that he places in front of us and begin to speak into their potential and begin to speak into their life that they're able to do what God called them to do. We do what Jeremiah did. When God says it's time to go to the next level, man, we build walls. God says it's time for us to go to the next level. We build barriers. We make excuses. No? Come on, somebody. You're all pleading the fifth this morning. You signed an affidavit. Come on, somebody. You signed a release of liability. Come on, somebody. That's what we do. God brings a new season. Tell your neighbor it's a new season. He said, I can't do it. What did Jeremiah say? He said, I can't do it. He said, I'm too busy. Come on, somebody. He said, I'm only a child. Come on, somebody. I know Samuel was an only child. He said, I don't have enough knowledge. Come on, somebody. I haven't been to school. He said, they won't take me seriously. God says it's time we fail to see things through the eyes of God. We got to see things through the eyes of God. That's number two. We got to see things through the eyes of God, God's perspective. Somebody say amen. See, life is a matter of perspective. Are you with me? The question is, do you follow God's perspective or do you follow your perspective? Because it's a fine line. And actually, if you're not in the Word of God, you can't follow God's perspective. Because when you look at the Word of God, it tells you the way God sees things. God will speak to you how he sees your situation and how he sees your life. But if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not hearing the Word of God, if you're not in tune with the Word of God, all you see is what you know. In other words, you're your own God. You have your own perspective on life. You refuse to look at the perspective of God. You would rather see things through your own eyes, through your carnal mind. I can't get nobody to confess some up in here. Come on, somebody. But it's true. We have to be able to know the mind of God and the heart of God in order to be able to see through the eyes of God. Life is a matter of perspective. If we would see things through God's eyes, you know what? We would know that most of the things that we worry about never even end up happening. We waste strength. We waste time. Jesus said this. He said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Come on, somebody. If we could see what God sees, we would realize that there's no problem that can't be conquered. But yet our situations seem impossible because we're not looking at it through the eyes of God. We look at our problems so long, but if we would look at God a little bit longer, we would realize that God is bigger than our problems. God, I can't get nobody this morning that knows that God is big, that serves a big God. If we will take time and look at God a little bit longer, we will see that God is bigger than anything that stands in our way. We would see he's bigger than the financial stress. Come on, somebody. We'd see he's bigger than the sickness that we face. Come on, somebody. We would see he's bigger than the family problems that come our way. Come on, somebody. We worry about questions that have no answers. But the promise of God stands, my friend. The promise of God stands, my brother, my sister. You know what God says? The Bible says God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you could stand up under it. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that remembers that the God that they serve is bigger than the problem that stands in your way. You know what? If we could see what God sees, we would see that there's no trial that there isn't a blessing attached to it. I can't get nobody to want to go through trials. I can't get nobody to want to go through trials this morning. Come on, somebody. But there's no trial that comes without a blessing. Every trial comes with a blessing attached to it when you're in Jesus, when you're trusting God. Somebody say amen. You can't see it in advance, right? Because in our mind, we doubt that anything good could come from our heartaches. But God, how many know God is that we're limited? Tell your neighbor, you're limited. See, that's the whole thing. We think in here. We limit to this right here, but you are limited. And because you're so limited and you stay so stuck on yourself, you forget that the God that you serve is not limited. You ain't hearing me this morning. You think he's limited to your mind. You think he's limited to your situation. You think he's limited to your understanding. You think he's limited to your reach. You think he's limited to what you think can happen. But how many know that the God that we serve is not limited to what we think is able to happen, but God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond, my friend. God is faithful. Don't get all sensitive on me this morning. I don't mean you're stuck on yourself like you're stuck up and stuff. I mean, you know what? I mean, like, we say so much, like, we're stuck on our problems. Let me just throw this in there for free. That's why it's good to take time to look at somebody else, to help somebody else, to think about somebody else, to go out of your way to go make a difference in somebody else's life. Because if you stop looking at your problems and you try to help somebody else with their problems, then God will remind you that he's faithful and he's still in control of your life. Come on, I can't get nobody this morning that knows what I'm talking about. There's no trial that comes without a blessing that is attached. If we could see what God sees, we would know that the pain always points to the possibility of growth. The Bible says endure hardship. Somebody say hardship. In Hebrews, it says discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time. But later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Come on, somebody. Pain brings the possibility for growth when you are in Jesus. When you suffer pain, when you go through pain, and if you will look at God and you will look up to God, then God will show you that that pain that you're going through, even though it might have been the enemy, even though it might have been obstacles and things that came against you, but because you serve a good God, he will show you that that pain that you are going through is an opportunity for you to grow, for you to become better, not bitter. Come on, somebody. For you to become the man and woman of God that he has called you to be. That's why they say that old saying, man, it's so true. No pain, no gain. It is so true. How many know we're all going to eventually experience pain? We've all experienced pain, different levels of pain at different times of your life. But when you keep your eyes on God, you will see that that pain you went through, and isn't it a bummer when we realize that too late, and you went through all kinds of pain, and you forgot to look at God so that God could take it and grow you? And then you know what happens? We go around in circles, and we go through the same pains that we went through in the past, and we didn't change. We stayed the same. But I'm going to know God wants to take you to another level in your life. Come on, somebody. So Jeremiah, you know, he finally, when you look at his life, he finally agrees, and then he sees what God sees. He sees a new season. Somebody say a new season. See, a new season is here, church. As individuals, as families, as a church family, as a ministry, there is a shift that we're in, church. God is taking us somewhere, Victor Outreach Pomona. I can feel it. I can see it. I can hear it. It's very powerful what God is doing in our midst. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning. And in the midst of what God is doing, God is calling you for his work. And you, listen, I got news for you this morning. You cannot run from the hounds of heaven. You cannot run from the hounds of heaven. You cannot run from the calling of God. Look at Jonah. Jonah tried to run. Come on, somebody. And it was pointless. He tried to run. Nobody now, y'all don't want to remember Jonah. But when your kid was bringing the Jonah little worksheet from downstairs, you were like, oh, Jonah, and you told him the whole story. But when it comes to your life, you forgot about Jonah. Jonah ran from the calling of God. How many know there are people sitting in this place here today that sometimes we are running from what God is trying to do in our life? We are justifying it. We're making excuses. But you can't run from what God wants to do inside of your life. So you might as well submit. You might as well surrender, because God is in control of your life. Matter of fact, if you're running, you're frustrated right now. Frustrated. And you're trying to convince yourself that you're not frustrated. You're trying to make yourself feel okay about this when that's not the call. You try to make yourself feel okay about that, but that's not the call. And you try to make yourself have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, but you can't fabricate the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Only God in his perfect will can give you the peace of God that surpasses. You ain't hearing me this morning. There ain't no Christians this morning. Come on, somebody that want to be in the perfect will. You can't run from the calling of God that God has placed upon your life. We make excuses. We try to run away. Some are saying, man, I'm only this and I'm only that. We look at our inadequacies. But again, I want you to know this morning that God this morning, he's looking at your potential. If we would see the potential that he sees in us, we would see God is in the business of raising up world changers in Victory Outreach Pomona. We just made a difference through Run for Hope. We just made a difference by rallying people, getting people to be a part of something great. And I want you to know this morning that it is just the beginning of what God wants to do. God is raising up world shakers. God is raising up men and women of God that are going to answer the calling of God, take a city, do what God has called them to do, and not let the enemy stop them from fulfilling the plan that he has for their life. Come on, somebody. Thirdly is this, what does a new season bring? Well, a new season, real quickly, it brings changes, it brings challenges, and a new season brings out champions. Come on, somebody. You could write those down. It brings changes, we already talked about that. It brings challenges, but a new season brings out champions. Somebody say, I'm a champion. Come on, say it's a new season. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say it's a new season. Tell your neighbor, I'm a champion. Come on, believe in yourself. God believes in you. Believe in yourself. Say, I'm a champion. See, it brings change, it brings challenges, and it brings out champions. I'm going to know we have a love-hate relationship with change. First you love me, then you hate me. And that's how we are with change, man. You love it at times, but you hate it at times. You don't want to talk to it sometimes. And sometimes you don't want to hang up the phone with it. You ain't here. Change. Challenges. But through those things, it bursts forth champions. I said it births champions. Maybe you think, man, I could never be used to do anything great. Maybe you think this morning I don't have anything to offer. I try to do things in the past, but I failed. Maybe you've been trying to do things in your own strength, but the reality is that this new season, if you will let it, God is birthing champions. The champion that is inside of your life, God is going to bring it out in this new season that you and I have stepped into. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning. God wants to use every single person in this room, but you need to humble yourself. And you, man, it's not easy. How many know we do not like to humble ourselves? Oh, right. Am I the only one? Am I the only one that humility hurts? Man, I play fantasy football, and when I'm getting beat, I feel like I'm eating humble pie. It hurts. Humility don't feel good. But God gives grace to the humble. The Bible says God resists the proud. Well, you have pride when you don't humble yourself. You're fighting God. Did you know that? That's not Robert 101. That's not Robert, you know, scripture. That's the word of God. When we're prideful, we're resisting God. We're fighting against God. But when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, God will raise you up. God will give you grace. God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He'll anoint your head with oil, and your cup, baby, is going to be running over, because the God that we serve is in the business of birthing champions in the new seasons of your life. He wants to use every single person in this room. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Say it. Say it with me. Say, the harvest is plentiful. Say, but the workers are few. You hear that this morning? That's what Jesus said. He said, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is there. The harvest is here, Pomona. The harvest is here for you and I. We are in a season of harvest. Saying the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Where's the workers of the kingdom? Where's the builders of the kingdom? Come on, somebody, please help me. Please tell me there's some workers. Please tell me there's some builders. Please tell me in this place that there's people that want to do the work of God and build the kingdom of God. See, when we train our eyes, and I'm going to get ready to close here in a moment, but we train our eyes to see things as God does, we got to know what season we're in. And we got to ask God to define that season. And I want to tell you this morning, I want you to just listen real close for a few moments, because I'm going to tell you what season we're in this morning. Tell your neighbor it's a new season. Say it again. Say it's a new season. Let me tell you what season we're in today. First of all, and there's a scripture, and it talks about this. I want to tell you why. In 2 Samuel 11:1, it says David. It says about King David, and it said, listen what it says. It said it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to war, that David remained at Jerusalem. In other words, it was the time when kings go out to war. It was a time when kings go to battle, and David was a king. Somebody say amen. And David chose to stay back. And this is when he fell with Bathsheba. Somebody say amen. I know David fell with Bathsheba, right? He stayed back. He was on the balcony. He seen her, and he fell. It was a new season. It was a new season when kings go out to war. But he decided to stay back. He decided to not go to the battle. And because it was a new season, but David didn't go, David missed it. He did the wrong thing in the new season. In other words, this morning, it's possible to do the wrong thing in the new season. We say, man, you know, because you could look at it and say, man, what's the problem with David staying back just one time, right? So what? He's been faithful. His men loved him. They appreciated their king. So why wasn't it okay for him to stay home, to not battle with them? Well, David was king, and all those things are true about him. But it was time. Now was the time. It was a new season. It was time when kings go forth into battle. There was something that God wanted to do in that time. Somebody say amen. So here it is this morning. This is the time. This is the season that we're in this morning. Number one is a time for war. It's a time for war. Somebody say war. But I want you to catch this, because war, listen, war, yes, it's battle, but it's also, what it means is it's purpose it's strategy, and it's achievement. Because how many know when people go out to war, there's a purpose why they go to war. There's an end. They're trying to gain territory. They're trying to gain finances. They're trying to gain, different things. So it means war means purpose, it means strategy, and it means achievement. The other thing in the season that we're in is that it's a time for harvest, and it's a time for souls. Somebody say amen. And harvest and souls means this. It means reaching and keeping. And it means evangelism and discipleship and follow-up. Come on, somebody. It's a time for harvest. Somebody say praise the Lord. You got to reach them and you got to keep them. Somebody say amen. And we have to follow up on them, and we have to love them, and we have to love them for God, and we have to love them until they come into this church, and we have to love them and let them know that God has a plan for their life, and it's a time for harvest, and God has called us to reach them and to keep them. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that understands the season that we're in, that it is a time to reach somebody else for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, the third thing it's a time for more, and it's a time for increase. It's a time for blessings, healing, and success and growth. Let me say that one more time. It's time for blessing, healing, and success and growth. Somebody say time for more. Somebody say increase. How many believe that God wants to do something in this season in your life, that God wants to do more in your life? How many know God wants to bless you? Come on. God bless 10 of you. Amen. We will pray for the other 90% of you. Come on, somebody. How many know that it is a time for more? How many know that God wants to heal? Come on, somebody. God wants to bring success. God wants to bring growth. Somebody say amen. It's a new season. In the verses that we read, it says, sing, O barren woman, you who have not born. It's talking to Israel. It says, enlarge the place of your tent, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. It says, don't fear, because you will not be ashamed. And in these verses, that's what it's saying. It's saying these three things. Number one, it's saying what you will do. Because how many know that God has already gone before us, right? So you got to understand this, that the time when God had fought for Israel on this side, when they were on this side of the Jordan, when they were in Egypt, how many know God sent the plagues, and God did the work for them, and God set them free? Like in Isaiah 45, God said, I will go before you. I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze. I will. God said, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to do these great things for your life. But then in Isaiah 54, it's saying what you're going to do. It's saying you stretch, you enlarge, you make room. Come on, somebody. You sing, you get ready, you make preparation for what God wants to do in your life. How is that significant? I want you to know it's significant because when God brought them out of Egypt, he did great things for them. But I want you to know that land of promise, that land of blessings, when you look at when they crossed over the Jordan, this is what we don't understand, is that because we know God brought us out by his mighty hand, but once they crossed over into that Jordan, which was when they were going to see that fruit, man, that those blessings, the promised land, the big breakthroughs, that land was a land of battle. It was a land of battle. In other words, God blessed them and he brought them out with his mighty hand before. But in this land of inheritance, in this land where they were going to grab a hold of the inheritance that God had for their life, he was going to break through their hand. God was going to break through their hand. So now God was going to use them. They were going to go and battle giants. They were going to go and battle big battles. Not easy. In other words, it's a land of promise, but it wasn't going to get easy. It was going to be difficult. They were going to have to stand and have bigger faith. And in that bigger faith, when they stood there and as they fought, God was going to give them favor. But they were going to have to fight. And as they fought, God was going to bring their enemies down, and they were going to inherit and possess the land, and they were going to step into every place that God told them that they were going to step into. I want you to know this morning that God, for you and I, in that place of promise, in that place of possession, in that place of inheritance, you're going to go through battles, but in that battle, God is going to give you the victory, and he's going to turn it around, baby, and he's going to use it to release blessings and favor and territory inside of your life. It's saying what you will do. That's war. It's saying engage. It's purpose. Somebody say amen. And then in those verses it says, sing, O barren. More are going to be the children of the desolate. In other words, that's harvest. Somebody say harvest. It's saying make room. It's saying make room for the harvest. It's saying enlarge the place of your tent. Make room. Make room for what, Pastor Robert? Make room to keep the souls. Make room to reach the souls. Make room, enlarge, make place to work with the souls, to keep the souls, to work with the families, to touch the families, to follow up on the families. Is there anybody here this morning that knows that God called you to make a difference in other people and in other families? We will inherit. It says that God, we will forget our shame because our Maker is our husband. That is blessing. You have to catch up to this. It's talking about blessing. It's talking about the fact that God is, your Maker is your husband. And he's saying, forget your shame. None of you here have ever been fruitless. Has anybody here ever been dry, barren? Are y'all just producing fruit, Christians producing fruit left and right? It just falls off your life, falls off your family. He's saying, in spite of the fact that you've been fruitless, he's saying you're not going to be disgraced and you're not going to be ashamed. He's saying you're going to forget your shame because your Maker is your husband. That is blessing, that is healing, that is success, and that is growth. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning. I'm talking to people right now who are going into a new season with inside of their life. Is there anybody here this morning that is ready to step into the new season that God has for your life? Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you do when you're going through the fire? Right? You keep on walking. Right? You just stay there. Walk on the hot coals? You think they just stop and stand on them? Oh, man, they keep walking. Good job, these hot coals. You know they're fear. Keep on walking. What do you do when you're going through the Red Sea and the Egyptian army is closing in on you? You keep walking. What do you do when you find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death? You keep walking, baby. Listen, you are this morning, you are creating capacity to receive greater, a greater power, a greater anointing, and a greater blessing than you've ever had in your life. See, you got to understand this. I know that you've been through some things, and I know that the devil sent a lot of things your way that were meant to kill you. Come on, somebody. I know that the devil sent a lot of things your way that were meant to drive you out. I know he sent a lot of situations and circumstances and people and haters and all these things. And for a moment, you took your eyes off of God and you focused on the problem and you focused on the haters and all those things the enemy used to try to convince you that it was hopeless. I know that at times in your life, you have faced some hard seasons. I know that at times in your life, you have faced some dry seasons. Can anybody be honest this morning? I know that at times in your life you feel like everything has tried to just throw dirt in your face. But I came to tell you this morning. I said, I came to tell you this morning. If you will hear what God is saying in this place, I came to tell you this morning, God is getting ready to flip the script and you're going to see the fruit of your labor, your labor of love. God is getting ready to turn it around in your favor and God is getting ready to bless you in a tremendous way. The Bible says God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. It says don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you don't lose heart. This is somebody's due season in this place this morning. It is a new season. If you want to claim it, man, if you want to grab a hold of it, if not, send it this way, baby. Because I came to tell you this morning, it is somebody's new season. It is somebody's due season. And God is getting ready to bless some people up in this place. And if you want it, it's yours. God is going to do it for your life. Oh, now you get excited. God wants to bless you. Come on. Lord, bless me. No, I'm serious, so it's a new season. This is somebody's new season. Now, if you haven't waited a long time for your new season, and you're okay with waiting, it's time to go ahead and let it pass you by. I'll get it the next time around. You go ahead and you get blessed. By all means, send it on over to somebody. Send it on over to me. But as for me, my wife, and my house, and those that are with me, come on, somebody. We waited a long time. People waited a long time. And God is saying, it's your due season. Get ready, because I'm getting ready to bless it and pour it all over your life. Stay with me standing. Stand with me this morning. Elijah said this. I want the worship team to come. Listen to what Elijah said. Elijah said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. See what he caught? Let me tell you what Elijah caught. He caught it in the spirit. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning. I know I'm saying some things. I know it's a sermon, and I know I'm preaching this morning, but I wonder if there's anybody, 3 people, 5 people, 50 people, I wonder if there's some people in this place that caught it in the spirit, what God is doing in your midst, in this season, in this day, in this hour. Now is the time! Elijah said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He caught it in the spirit. I believe this morning somebody is catching it in the spirit. The sound of abundance of rain in the spirit. Help me, keyboard, this morning. Keyboard, work with me. Keyboard, help me this morning. Help me preach this thing. I came into this place this morning not to preach, but to proclaim, to tell somebody that the drought is over. The drought is over. It's a new season. I'm prophesying this morning. I'm prophesying to somebody that has been in a spiritual drought. Oh, I got your attention now. Come on, somebody. But I'm talking what I've been talking from the beginning. I came here to prophesy to somebody this morning that has been in a spiritual drought. I came to let you know the drought is breaking today. The drought is breaking right now. It's a new season. It's a new season. Tell your neighbor the season is changing. I know I'm not talking to everybody, but I'm talking to somebody. If you're somebody this morning, talk back to me this morning. Come on, somebody. Woo! Tell your neighbor the season is changing. Listen, if you've never been in a spiritual drought, this won't mean much to you. You ain't hearing me. If you ain't never been in a spiritual drought, this won't mean much to you. But if there's somebody listening to me this morning who's ever been in a dry place before, come on, somebody, where it seems like heaven's closed, it feels like it hasn't rained in a year, come on, somebody, it feels like God moved and he didn't leave you his address, hello, somebody, hello, well, come on, somebody, you ain't never felt like that. Well, I came to tell you this morning, Victor Outreach Pomona, whoever is in this place that wants what God has for them, I came to let you know. I came to let you know this morning that the drought is breaking. I said the drought is breaking. If you put yourself, position yourself, stand yourself in that place, I want you to know the drought is breaking. And you know what's heavy? It's breaking in the same place where the enemy said it's over. In the same place where the enemy said, I'm going to finish you. Ain't nobody wants a word from God this morning. That's all right. I've taken it for me. That's all right. God already spoke to me. I'm just getting a double portion right now. It's taking place in that same place where he said, I'm going to destroy your ministry. In that same place where he said, I'm going to destroy your marriage. I'm going to destroy your family. I'm going to destroy your health. I'm going to destroy you financially. It's in that same place where the devil said, it's going to end. You're going to dry up and die. It's the same place that the drought is going to begin to pour out. The rain is going to begin to pour. And God is going to begin to pour it out and anoint you in a greater way. I came to let somebody know in this place that in the very same place you're getting ready to tap into a fresh anointing, a brand new supply of the glory of God. You ain't hear me in this place. A brand new supply of the power of God. Boy, you ain't got to tell me twice. I am like a thirsty deer in a desert. And you tell me there's some water, I'm running after it. Get out of my way. Watch out. If you're not thirsty, then go ahead and be satisfied over there. But this man right here is thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm desperate. I want more of God. I want to see the promises of God take place in this place. I don't know if nobody else wants to see the promises of God unfold, but I want to see the promises of God unfold. Is there anybody here this morning that wants to see the promises of God unfold in this place and in your life? Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap in this place. You're going to rise up with a new boldness. You're going to rise up with a new faith. Am I talking to somebody? You're going to rise up with a new determination. Is anybody here today? You're even going to go and you're going to even take back what the enemy stole from you in the drought season. It's a new season. Tell three people it's a new season. Come on, tell them like you mean it. Say it's a new season. I'm going to make an altar call. Let me give you a word here. Listen to this. This is powerful, man. And I'm telling you right now, this is for our church. This is for our church. In Jeremiah 1:17, he told Jeremiah this. God said, get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. The time for excuses was over. Come on, somebody. I said the time for excuses was over. God told Jeremiah, get ready, get up, and do what God told you to do. Come on, somebody, and I'm going to be with you. He said, people, you're going to fight against them. But it's about who is on your side. Now is the time. It's a new season. Somebody say amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. He promised Jeremiah that they were going to be a fortified city. He compared them to a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall. God promised that Jeremiah would not be overcome and that God will come through for his life. Psalm 119:38 says, fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared, Lord. I want you to all over this place, lift your hands this morning, all over this place. Lift your hands. Come on, just worship the Lord.